Hi everybody, my name is Alex and I'm the student minister here at Andover Baptist Church. And it is so great to be talking to you all today and to be continuing in our Christmas series called Light Up the World. Last week, Chris Porter, our senior minister, gave a fantastic talk that reminded us of how God brought light into the darkness of this world through the person of Jesus, his son, and how we really need that light to shine brightly into our lives. And actually, that talk really got me thinking all about this idea of light and darkness, a theme that we're really exploring at the moment. And I want to really start by telling you a little story this morning. Some years ago, I spent Christmas at home with my mum and her partner at their house during what was one of the coldest winters that the UK had seen for some time. There had been really heavy snowfall, and I think actually it was the year 2010, so those of you living in the UK might even remember that. Some of our family members, like my grandparents, had also come down to stay for Christmas. Now, the house was located right in the middle of some woods out in the countryside. It was a really beautiful place, but it wasn't particularly accessible by road. There was just a long dirt track to drive down to get to, which was pretty tricky at the best of times. But however, we weren't really bothered by this because we were just looking forward to a really white, picturesque Christmas, and we were all quite excited. However, just a few days before Christmas, quite late in the evening, there was a power cut. I think we were all in the middle of eating dinner and doing some final Christmas preparations, so it really caught us off guard. And because we were right out in the woods, it was completely pitch black. And also because of the snow and the conditions, we wouldn't have been able to get a vehicle out of the drive. We couldn't have gone to the nearest petrol station or shop to get supplies, which were at least a few miles walk away. So initially we did what people always do when there's a power cut. We kind of sat and waited to see if perhaps the lights would come back on quite quickly. However, after a little while of waiting, we realized that maybe this would go on for some time. And then we did what people usually do and frantically scrabbled around in the cupboard trying to find any source of light that we could, be it candles or torches or whatever we could find. And so we did this, but I remember that we didn't come across many torches. And if we did find some torches, we didn't have many batteries to power them. We did, however, have lots of candles because it was Christmas time, but we didn't have an abundance of candle holders. But we did have a fireplace, which we were really blessed with. And I remember us all huddling around a big roaring fire that evening as the power cut continued and the house grew colder and colder. And when it came for the time for all of us to go to bed, we had to take it in turns to use the one or two torches we had managed to find and power so that people could go and use the bathroom and do whatever they needed to do. So we did that and we all went off to sleep, hoping that perhaps by morning the power might have come back on. Well, next day came and probably as you might have guessed, there was still no power. Phone calls to the energy supplier revealed that actually there was quite a significant problem that would need fixing by engineers. And we began to get the impression that we might be without power for some time. So we realized that we needed to make best use of the daylight hours and we needed to be prepared for when the nighttime came. So after a bit of struggle, we managed to finally get a vehicle out of the drive and my mum and I went off to the nearest home store to try and get some essential supplies. But to our horror, when we arrived at the store, there were queues of people everywhere, which we assumed would be due to last-minute Christmas shopping. But no, we were to discover that all these people had the same items on their list as us. And we realised that this power cut was not just local to our home, but actually it affected the whole area. So we kind of fought about in the shop trying to find whatever items that we could, which wasn't very many at that stage, but we did manage to head home with some bags full of candles, torches, batteries, blankets, and probably a heater or two. And then back at home, we got ourselves ready for another evening in darkness. I remember Mum going out around the house distributing torches in all the key rooms, and there were strategically placed candles where they might be needed. And we all huddled around the fire again that evening. In the end, this power cut continued right throughout Christmas and into the new year, and it lasted for nearly 2 weeks. I remember my mum trying to barbecue the turkey outside in the snow and the cold, which was definitely a challenge. But despite all the difficulties, it was a very memorable Christmas. And in fact, I remember my grandparents being in their element. It really didn't faze them because actually they had grown up in these kind of conditions. But for the rest of us, it really was quite scary at times. the power of the darkness was really quite real and debilitating. It really brought a halt to everything that we had planned for Christmas that year, and it changed how we went about each day. And actually, it's in those moments that we realize just how important basic things like light and heat and power are. It's so easy for us to take them for granted. And in hindsight, if we had known there was going to be a power cut, we would have been better prepared. But that's always the way, isn't it? I want to look now at another story. It's a story found in the Bible. It's written by a man called John, who lived 2,000 years ago in the Middle East. And he was a friend and a follower of Jesus. And we can read his account of Jesus' life and ministry in the New Testament part of the Bible in a book appropriately called John. And in this particular story that I'm going to look at today, Jesus is a grown man. He's in his early 30s. John and many other disciples have been traveling around with Jesus for a few years now. Some have even known him for much longer. And they've seen Jesus do incredible things, unimaginable miracles, healing people, raising the dead, defying the laws of nature, calming storms, multiplying food and turning water into wine, and so much more. But Jesus did all of these things, not to prove his power, but to demonstrate that he is the source of life and hope, that he is the light of the world. Could you imagine what it would have been like for the disciples like John to spend time with Jesus, with God himself, to be soaking up all his wisdom and the truth and to be living in his light constantly? It must have been amazing. And then as we read on in John, we get to a time approaching Jesus' death. Jesus and his friends, his disciples, have traveled to the city of Jerusalem, which is the capital of the Jewish world, really. And they've done this to celebrate the Passover festival, a really important tradition in the Jewish faith. However, Jesus knew that it was here in this city that he is going to be arrested by the authorities and sentenced to death by crucifixion. But actually, when Jesus first arrived in Jerusalem, he's treated as a bit of a celebrity. Crowds gather around him because he's become well known as this great rabbi and teacher. And many have great hope in him to be this long-awaited Messiah and Savior that will set the Jewish people free from oppression and slavery, free from foreign rulers such as the Roman Empire at that time. But Jesus tries to tell the crowd the real reason that he has come to earth, and it's not quite what they expect. He tries to tell them that he must soon depart this earthly life, that he must die in order to fulfill his purpose. But they don't really understand him, and they don't believe him. It just doesn't add up to their expectations. And then Jesus says something really profound. In response to their unbelief, he says this to the people: "You are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. Whoever walks in the dark does not know where they are going. Believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of light." And when he had finished speaking, he left and he hid from them, probably out of frustration. Now, the people who lived during the time of Jesus, the very people he's addressing in this crowd, they not only got to hear about him, but they got to see him and experience him in person. They got to experience God in a way that people had never experienced God before, because God had never come to earth as a human being before. And yes, God had revealed himself in other ways, but never in that way. But now God is on the earth in the person of Jesus. And Jesus was and is the light of the world. So the people in this crowd in Jerusalem, they were in the physical presence of God. They were in that light. And this is why Jesus says to them that you are going to have the light just a little while longer, meaning that he's only going to be on earth a little while longer. Another version of this passage from the New Living Translation has Jesus say, "My light will shine for you just a little longer." And I really like this translation, actually, because it has this idea of Jesus being active as a shining light, as our source of energy and power. But it also suggests that people receiving the light might be passive. The light is shining for them at this stage. And that's why what Jesus goes on to talk about is so important. And while he does tell them that he is the source of light, a source that they can have access to, he's also saying that it's not enough for them to be passive in this light, taking it for granted. They have to believe in it, believe in the light, believe in Jesus. And that's an active thing. It takes faith. Jesus knows that it's far easier for people to believe in him while he's physically on the earth, when they can see him and hear him, and when that light is so visible to them. But he also knows that there is about to be a huge spiritual power cut on earth, because he is going to die and he will physically leave the earth. And yes, Jesus will be resurrected to life, and that's a resurrection promise for all of us who believe in him. But he will then return to heaven to be reunited with God. And while Jesus will no longer be physically present on earth, there is a great way for his light still to shine. And that is through those people who believe in him. And that's by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's God's spiritual presence with us on this earth to this day. That's how we encounter God and Jesus still now. And that is why Jesus says to this crowd that if we believe in the light, we may become children of light. Meaning, if we believe in him, we will bear his image. We will become like him. For those people in the crowd and for Jesus' disciples, while he is there on earth, it must have been like having all the lights turned on, this constant supply of electricity and power illuminating everything. But Jesus is telling them that they need to get ready for the darkness, because he won't always be so visible to the world. And then they will need to take hold of their own lights and let Jesus shine through them. And the way that they can do this is by believing in him. This gives them access to him, to his power. It's like the source of energy for their lights. And the reason that Jesus wants people to have access to his light, it's not just for their own benefit, for their own salvation. It's for the benefit of others. It's for the salvation of the world. Jesus invites us to believe in him. And in doing so, he invites us to become light bearers for the world. But is it as simple or as easy as that? Well, on one hand, yes, because it's about belief, taking a step of faith. But actually, it's not always so easy. And I think Jesus knows that. Sometimes we can be overwhelmed by dark times in our lives, regardless of whether we are a follower of Jesus or not. And during difficult and dark times, we might think it is easier to hide away in the shadows rather than to step out into the light. And this is for all sorts of reasons, isn't it? Fear, anxiety, uncertainty, and like even Jesus highlights, maybe even a lack of belief or faith. And often in life, we aren't able to be prepared for when those dark times come. We don't know when it's going to happen. It's a bit like that power cut I experienced some years ago in the story I told earlier. On that occasion, we were totally unprepared. And once that electricity had gone and we had no light, we struggled. We couldn't see and we couldn't find our way around. And in the darkness, it's important that we try and find a way ahead, isn't it? Unless somehow we can be prepared. We needed a source of light, but it was really hard to find. And what would have helped us is if we could have planned for it somehow. If the electricity company had let us know there was going to be a power cut. If only they had told us, like Jesus told the crowd, that we would only have the light a little longer, I think we would have done things very differently. We wouldn't have taken that abundance of electricity that gave us light in the house for granted. We would have been active in making sure that we'd have had sources of light when the darkness came. We would have stocked up on torches and batteries. We'd have bought more candles and candle holders, or even found a temporary source of power for the lights in the house. And we would have done all of these things believing that it would see us through the darkness. But the only way we would know if that would work is that when the darkness comes, we wouldn't be overcome by it. Are you walking in the shadows today? Are you desperate to find a source of life and hope that will see you through the darkest of times? Maybe you are listening or watching today as a follower of Jesus, but you feel like your light is sometimes fading, maybe you don't feel particularly connected to God, connected to Jesus. And you don't feel like you're able to shine his light into the lives of others. You know, 2020 has been a year of unprecedented difficulty and darkness for so many. The coronavirus pandemic has shaken the world, and it's made people think differently about their lives. Whatever beliefs they might have, suddenly things have been put into perspective. And for those of us who are followers of Jesus, we may feel like we've been caught on the back foot, we've been unprepared. And when this pandemic hit, we were actually all plunged into a darkness of sorts. And yet we are still called to be light bearers for the world. And I know that in my own experience of this past year, I didn't feel like my light was shining particularly brightly at times. But actually during this pandemic and the lockdowns we've experienced, I've had time to go back to the source of my light, back to Jesus, because I realized that I wasn't as prepared as I could have been. And that for various reasons, I wasn't allowing Jesus's light, the light of the world, to shine through me as it could. And that's because things like fear and anxiety, and particularly for me, feeling out of control, pushed me back into the shadows. And it discouraged me from stepping out into that light. And then from going from that light, stepping out into the darkness around me. And actually, this is also the call for the church, for God's people on earth, to shine brightly into our communities and places in which we live or work, or the families and groups that we're a part of. But like the passage reminds us today, it requires us to be active in our faith. Yes, Jesus is the light of the world, but he calls us to participate in bringing this light to others. And to do this, we need to step out of the shadows that cast doubt and fear into our hearts. And we need a strong and unshakable faith that burns brightly. We need a faith that is white hot. That's something that our leadership here at ABC have been talking about recently. And as that passage today reminds us, we need not be afraid of the darkness. We don't need to be caught unawares, because if we are children of light, then the darkness will not overcome us. We have that promise from God. And if we are to be beacons of light, it's no good us shining into the daylight where we're not going to make much of a difference or really be seen. We need to be actively shining into those dark places around us. And yes, the darkness is a scary place to be, but Jesus has already gone before us. God himself has gone through the darkest experience imaginable, and his light has exposed the deepest darkness of this world. And he has made a way for us. So if we turn to him, we have his eternal light shining into our lives. A light that not only guides the way for us, but that through us can guide the way for others. If you are somebody watching or listening right now, and you just perhaps feel overwhelmed by darkness in your life, I just really want to pray for you now. Loving God, we just lift before you now anybody who is hearing these words, your words written through scripture, Lord, that remind us of the great light that you bring into our lives. That your light shines into the darkness, and that we don't need to be afraid. And I just lift up anyone right now struggling in their own personal journey of faith or whatever is going on in their life, where they feel like overwhelmed by darkness. Lord, shine your light into their lives. Shine your light through those around them. And for those of us who are followers of you, Jesus, help us to shine our lights even more brightly. Lord, just pray your blessing on all of us watching, listening, that we will shine brightly for you. Amen. There are so many ways that we can shine brightly into this world. We can share our faith with others. We can bring hope and truth into their lives. We can speak kindness and love into the communities around us. We can seek justice on behalf of the oppressed. We can humbly serve. We can simply just be there for somebody, walk alongside them on their journey, wherever they may be. Maybe it's making a phone call or going out of your way just to ask somebody how they are. And actually, you don't have to be a Christian to do all these things, do you? But if you are a follower of Jesus, then you have great motivation to do these things, because it's the kind of things that Jesus himself did. And these are just some of the ways that he lit up the world. And there are so many more examples that we can read about in the accounts of Jesus's life in the Bible. And actually, in kind of line with our theme for this service today, one powerful way that we can reignite our faith and shine brightly is to give thanks to God. Our praise and our worship can be beacons of hope into this world. And I think our world needs that at this time so much. But I think we don't always realize the impact that our praise and our worship and giving thanks can have. And I love this painting that captures it so well. It's painted by my mother-in-law, who is a very talented artist. And it so wonderfully demonstrates the power of our praise and worship, how it can just light up the darkness and send color and hope out into the world. Rob mentioned earlier about posting what you are thankful for in the live chat, and it's been so great to see some of those things. But I really encourage you to continue doing this through our live chat or even via our website. You can submit a thanks report by our Say One For Me prayer page. And that's what we're going to be celebrating this Thursday in our prayer gathering as well, which would be great to have as many of you take part in that with us as possible. And I think actually it's because there's something so powerful in taking time to give thanks to God and to be reminded of how the light of the world can and will impact people's lives. And actually, we've got a great opportunity to do that now in a very personal way as we listen to more songs together that remind us of who Jesus is and the hope that we have in him. But first, I'd love to just pray. Lord, I just thank you for today. Just thank you for your goodness and your love. I thank you that you saw the darkness of this world and you cared so much for us that you came down into this world. You came to earth as your son, Jesus, as the light of the world. Jesus, you said that I am the light of the world, that whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So I pray that for all of us listening or watching, that we would know deep in our hearts that we have access to the light of life. Maybe people are listening or watching and have never really heard this about you, Lord. We just speak powerfully into their lives. Lord, may we just feel that in giving thanks, in praising and worshiping you, that we are sending light out into the world around us. Help us as your children to be beacons of light. Help this church to be a great beacon of light into the local community. Help your people all over the world to shine light into the darkness. Amen.